Okay, good morning, everybody. Okay, good morning, good morning. Can everyone could hear?
Yes.
Yeah, and everyone could speak. I know last time I didn't realize that everyone was muted, so you weren't able to speak, so please feel free to speak anytime you would like. The Zechnishmas Avi Mori Yaakov Yisrael Pilchas, the Zechnishmas Daniel Shainabas Yeshua Falak. Okay, this week's Parsha's Korach. Towards the end of the Parsha, we read about the Matnos Kehuna, the whole question about Korach wanting to be a Kohen and the challenging Moshe and Aaron. And at the end, we have halachas of Kehuna. And one of the halachas of Kehuna is the halacha of Pidyon HaBen. The halacha of Pidyon HaBen that we give the chameshus slime to the Kohen for Pidyon HaBen. And the Torah, and it's interesting that that this halacha of Pidyon HaBen is called a pidyon. Pidyon usually means that something's holy, and now you're going to be poda. But Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in one of the tshuvas, he says he doesn't think it's any pidyon is really going on here. So it's like you have a chair, you poda et vehektish. And then you give money to the hektish, so the money goes on, the kedusha goes on onto the money, and the chair is yotzei l'chulin. There's no real pidyon that's really happening here, because it's not pshat that before you did it there was a kedusha on the baby, and now the kedusha comes off. It's not. It's just a borrowed lashon from other areas of pidyon, but it's not a real pidyon. Now, what is the context that Rav Moshe says it is the following. We know that pidyon haben has to be the peterechem. Has to be the peterechem. That means the firstborn from the mother. The peterechem. And if it's not the peterechem, then there's no pidyon haben. It's not the firstborn. Sometimes you have this shaila that came up. I've dealt with it once, where somebody had a miscarriage before they had this first child. There was a miscarriage, and you know, and people are very sensitive to these things. They didn't want people to know, and it could depend upon how far in the pregnancy the miscarriage happened, because if it happened further on in the pregnancy, then this child would not be considered the peterechem. He wouldn't be considered the peterechem because it happened, but these people didn't want you know, other people to know that there was some shiloh, because it could be that they really can't make the pidyon haben, and because everyone's going to say it's the firstborn, why isn't there a pidyon haben? So there is a Bnei Yisoschar. The Bnei Yisoschar says a very fascinating idea, and that's sometimes when you have a suffik bracha, whether you could make a bracha on something. So usually we say suffik brachas lahakel, we don't make it. But in a certain situation where it could be, it's a suffik, so one, and I'll tell you the context that he says it in, you could take out a Gemara, or as Rav Harfen has said to me, take out the Rambam, and just read the bracha in the context of learning. Now, like the din of Pidyon HaBen is in the end of Psachim. So the Gemara says, Avi HaBen Mevarech, you know, you read it as if you're learning. or from the Rambam. So the Bnei Sasso says in certain situations where it may maybe be, you know, an embarrassment or something that it, so we would perhaps permit to have the Pinyan HaBen, but if we're going to have the Pinyan without a bracha, it's not going to look well. So, and it's a question, in other words, obviously, if the baby was totally born and there was no Shaila and there was no Shita to rely on, you know, so you then you don't do it. You don't do it. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. You don't do it. But in certain situations where maybe it's a question whether it developed enough or something like that, you could read the you could say the bracha by opening up the Gemara and reading the Gemara. In other words, like the Gemara says, Ravina Omar, and then Mevarech. You know, you read it like in the context of reading the Gemara. So Rav David Feinstein, when I was discussing many, many years ago, this Shaila, one of my Talmidim that had that miscarriage before, and they didn't want to tell anybody, and there was some embarrassment, something like that, and it was maybe a question of how much it was developed, or something like that, he suggested maybe to do such a thing, to, you know, to read it from the Gemara. I recently, myself, had this Shaila recently. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I got up from Shiva. I sat Shiva for my father before Pesach. So I sat Shiva before my father. My father passed away on Vav Nisan. On Vav Nisan, he passed away. And then I got up. You know, you get up from Shiva, your mind is, you know, especially this year that it was... It was very, you know, Corona and everything was going on in the world, and it was so. I didn't do Kiddush Levana yet. I didn't do Kiddush Levana, and I didn't think about Kiddush Levana while I was sitting Shiva. Who was thinking about Kiddush Levana and Shiva? So it was after I got up from Shiva. It was the night of Bedikas Chametz. It was the night of Bedikas Chametz, and I was in the kitchen, and I live in a building, so we're high up. I was in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, I see the Levana outside. And I said to myself, "Oh, I didn't, you know, I wasn't mechanish to the Levana." So. I said, but you know what? I'm going to do Bedikas Chametz first, because we always try to do Bedikas Chametz first. I'm going to do Bedikas Chametz first, and then I'll go ahead and do Kiddush Levana. So sure enough, I did Bedikas Chametz first, and then I went out to Kiddush Levana, and lo and behold, there was no Levana. There was no Levana, and then. And then the next day was the night of Pesach. So I discussed it with Rav Harfenis. So he discussed. So the next, you know, my friend Rabbi Strauch, your cousin, whenever you want to know when the latest Kiddush Levana is, that's who you go to ask. He's always very knowing the exact times and everything. So it was already the last day, you know, so I missed it. But there are certain shitas that it could be that the next day you could also, even though that's not the mainstream shita, the next night also. So it was like the night of the first Seder. So Rabbi Harfenis said to me, "Why don't you do Kiddush Levana like this Shita? Do Kiddush Levana from what? From the Rambam. So you'll take out the Rambam. You'll read it in the context of the Rambam. So even though there is a Shita that still holds that you could Kiddush Levana that night, even though that's not the mainstream Shita, so you're not going to just do it normal from the Siddur because maybe it'll be a Brachah Latala. But you do it in the context of learning, so." Perhaps it could be, you know. So I said to myself. I went out, and I went downstairs, and I went to. I took my Rambam. I took my son. I took my Rambam, and I went out, and no Levana. Okay. So what I did was I My friend Rabbi Strauch, he lives on the first floor. I live on the fifth floor. He lives on the first floor. So I knocked on his door, and we were just schmoozing together. And then my son comes back up from upstairs, and he said, "Abba, there's a Levana." So I went out, and it was in a funny position, but we got it, and I was able to mechadish the Levana from the Rambam, from saying it from the Rambam in that context. So that's I think Rabbi Chanan Adlis maybe said from Rav Shmuel Shalitz and Rabbi David Feinstein also subscribed to this idea. I think I heard the name of Rav Shalitz, maybe from Rabbi Chanan Adlis, maybe that perhaps only if it's like there's still a shita that's the you can't do it 5 days later. You know what I mean? There might be still a shita that you can do it. So then it's good to know. So I remember that Rabbi David told me this years ago in the context of the Pidyon HaBen. In the context of the Pidyon HaBen, we did it then. So that was the story. Oh, so Moshe Feinstein's true. So that's the first thing. This idea that Pidyon HaBen has to be the Peter Rechem. It has to be the firstborn, the Peter Rechem. And if it's not the Peter Rechem, then you don't do it. And if it's something happened from before, depending upon how much it was formed before, it could mean that it's no longer the Peter Rechem. But in certain situations, it's not to avoid embarrassment, Rav Dov Feinstein permitted to do it from the Gemara, just like I did it from the Gemara of the Kiddush Levana, from the Gemara as well, or from the Rambam as well, in that context. And the Bnei Yisachar, in one of his Sfarim, has that idea. Oh, so there is a discussion. What if you have a forceps baby? In other words, say the baby is not coming out, and you have to take forceps. You have to take something, put it around the head, and yank it out. So, what is the story with a forceps baby? Do you do Kiddush Levon? Do you do Pidyon HaBen with a forceps baby? So this is a big discussion in the poskim. You have the discussion of the Avnei Nezer. This most discussed the idea of chatzitza, because the head, what becomes the petera, the head touches the rechem, right? In other words, when you talk about an animal that has kedusha, when an animal has kedusha, so how does the well, what's the idea that the animal has kedusha? Because the bechor, when the animal's the bechor, so it comes out and its head touches the rechem, and that makes the kedusha. So the Gemara says, but what if the head, you put something on the head, so now when the head's coming out, it's not going to touch the rechem? Then it's a chatzitza, and then it might not have kedusha. So that's the discussion in the poskim about what? About a forceps baby. Because a forceps, you have this whatever it's made out of, metal around the head, and it's coming out. So the head is covered up by this the forceps, and it's not touching the rechem. So maybe it doesn't have a din of Pidyon HaBen, just like by a Bechor Behema. When you, the Gemara doesn't speak about a forceps, but it speaks about like Karcho Besiv or something like that. It's Chaitzitz. So that's the discussion in the Achronim. Rav Herschel Schechter likes to quote the discussion in the Avnei, in the Rogatchover, in the Tzoftos Paneach. In the Rogatchover, in the Tzoftos Paneach, he says a different idea, that maybe it's not considered a regular Leida. In other words, if you have what? A Yotzei Dofen. If you have, you open up the C-section. So there's also not going to be a Pidyon HaBen. Why? Because it's not a Leida. It didn't go through the Rechem, right? It came, you opened up the womb and you took it out. It didn't go through the Rechem. So if it didn't go through the Rechem, so there's no Pidyon HaBen. So the Rogatchover wants to be mechadish, as Rav Shechter likes to quote from the Rogatchover. Rav Shechter likes to quote from the Rogatchover that what? That just like when it comes out from the, when you have a C-section, so that's not called a Leida. So maybe when you pull it out, Maybe that's also not a leida. Even though you're pulling it out from the rechem, you're pulling it out vaginally, it's coming out the regular way, but since the body is not pushing it out, it's some other external force is yanking it out, maybe that's also not considered a leida. That's the discussion in the Rogatchover. But Rav Moshe Feinstein, and this is the opinion that I tell people to follow, is that Rav Moshe Feinstein said that the Chiyuv Pidyon HaBen, even on forceps, not only does the Chiyuv Pidyon HaBen, but the Chiyuv Pidyon HaBen on forceps is even with a bracha, meaning no shaila. So what's the pshat? So in terms of the Rogatchover, I don't think Rav Moshe even discusses that, because that's a chiddush of the Rogatchover, that the Rogatchover is saying that just like when it comes out for a C-section, that's not called a leida, because the body didn't push it out. So too, when it comes out for forceps, even though it's coming out from the regular area by the forceps, but it's not, the body's not pushing it out. So that's a chiddush. One could taina, like other, I think Rav Abadi didn't necessarily agree with this, others don't agree with this, that maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe it has to come dafka from, if it comes out of the stomach, whatever, it's a C-section, so that's not a leida. But just because you pushed it out, but the lamaisa came through the rechem, maybe that is a leida. But what about the question of chatzitza that the Avnei Nezer discusses and other things? So Rav Moshe Feinstein said, chatzitza by a bechor is only by a bechor behema, because a bechor behema has kedusha. It's kadosh, the bechor behema, right? It has real kedusha. In other words, normally an animal gets kedusha for a korban when you makdish it. You say, this is a hareze korban. A bechor gets kedusha when it's born. A bechor gets kedusha. Now, where does the kedusha come from? When the head goes through the rechem, touches the rechem, then it gets its kedusha. But if there's a chatzitza, so then there's no kedusha, perhaps, because the head didn't touch the rechem. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says, by Pidyon HaBen, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, there is no kedusha. The kid doesn't have, it's not like a Bechor Behema. The kid doesn't have kedusha, it's just a borrowed lashon of Pidyon. It's not real Pidyon. It's just a borrowed lashon of Pidyon. And Memele what? There's no kedusha. So if it's no kedusha, so then it's not pshat like a bechor. The taka, if you would, it has real kedusha. It's a kedusha's korban. But this baby doesn't have any more kedusha than any other baby. That's not a bechor. It's just a lashon mushal. So Memele, the halacha that it has to touch the actual rechem, he thinks does not apply to because it's not a real kedusha. But when it's real kedusha, then the head has to touch it, and then it'll cause the kedusha. But if it doesn't, it's not a kedusha, and it's just like the Vilna Gaon says, it's just a chov. It's just a chov that you have to give to the kohen. It's not pshat that the money, the kedusha from the baby is going on to the money. Nothing like that. So Rav Moshe Feinstein paskin, as long as it comes out of the rechem, even if it didn't touch the rechem, yichayev in Pidyon HaBen with a bracha, b'li shum safek, and that was his psak against all the other achronim that had discussions and pikpukvim on this question. The halacha is. That if a person, the husband or wife is a Kohen or a Levi, Kohenis or a Leviya, there's no Pidyon HaBen. Right? Kohenis or Leviya, there's no Pidyon HaBen. I dealt with a very difficult Shaila recently. It's been some time. The Shaila was like this. Unfortunately, every once in a while, this has happened to me more than once, that someone will come over to me and tell me that they just found their husband and wife very happily married, etc. And they find out that that the husband unfortunately cannot father a child, that his zera is not potent to be able to father a child. And this is nothing you could have found out from before. You know, I've had both cases when the woman couldn't, but then by the woman, that's a whole different discussion by getting eggs, etc. But the husband couldn't find a father or child. So Rav Moshe Feinstein had his big psak, and this shook up the world, and where he permitted to get sperm, donor sperm. And as Rav David Cohen pointed out, and Rav Gideon Weitzman, based on from Rav Moshe, he wants you to get it from a non-Jewish zera, his non-Jewish zera, and usually what they do is they go to a sperm bank, and they want to see the features of the donor, because they don't want that a child should come out. The father and the mother look like this, and the child looks like totally different. So, and they don't want people to know. It's no one's business. It's a big, you know, it's a big embarrassment, and that's so that's what happened. This young man who was not able, the Baruch Hashem, happily married, and found out, and we you know, after testing that it's not going to happen. And obviously, you know, his wife would like to be a mother, and she and the husband, you know, would like to raise a child. So they got a sperm bank, and they again, this was like Rav Moshe, you know, this was the big fight with the Satmar Rebbe, and didn't like it, and it was a whole big, you know, this is one of Rav Moshe's biggest shitas, you know, telling you from my experience with these Talmidim, like, it could change their lives. In other words, you know, the person unfortunately doesn't have children, you know, it's a very, very sad. You know, Rabbi Moshe Tendler once said that he came in one day to yeshiva. I think Dr. Belkin was the president, and he was he was saying, you know, my children, this one has a sore throat, and this one has the this and this, and you know, and Rabbi Tendler said, oh, you know, tzar gidol bonim. So Rabbi Belkin said back, he says, no, that's gidol bonim. The tzar is when you don't have children. That's the true tzar. So they were able to have. So what was the problem? So Baruch Hashem, they got the zera, she became pregnant, and lo and behold, she was expecting, and the way we, you know, today we find out before, my wife never wanted to find out before, so we never found out before the gender. Because my wife thought that, you know, that they're going to always make a mistake in what it is, and then she'll be all psyched up one way. We never found out. But a lot of people today, especially in the modern world and the secular world for sure, they always found out. So they knew that it was going to be a boy. So what's wrong? So what's the problem? So this is the problem This problem the mother was worried about during the pregnancy. And that was that her husband, the man who couldn't have the children, was a Levi. So the question is, so now this boy is going to be born as a Hashem. And obviously he won't be a Levi. Right, because he's coming from a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother, and she was worried. She was thinking 13 years ahead when he becomes bar mitzvah, and he's gonna get an aliyah, and not necessarily at the bar mitzvah, but subsequently, he's gonna go ahead, and he's not a Levi, and everyone. And the community knows that the father is a Levi. And that's going to cause a tremendous embarrassment. She was so worried about this even before the birth. She was worried about this. And then, of course, the Pinyon HaBen is another aspect. But the Pidyon HaBen, you know, Pidyon HaBen, you know, the fact that you did it, you didn't, there was with here, there could be a Pidyon HaBen. Because, you know, the father, if the father was the, you know, of the child, was is a Levi, then the Pidyon HaBen, but he's not really the father of the child. So the Pidyon HaBen, you know, that could be done privately, and then the question, should it be done now, should it be done later, the Pidyon HaBen al Tanaya, whole thing. But she was so worried about the, so the question was, Alts Kovet HaBrios, could we let this child get a Levi Aliyah? I mean, it's a question that's only going to be relevant, you know, for many years off. But the busha shabal was so strong that she couldn't have menuchas hanefesh about this. So I discussed it with different rabbanim. There were some you know, people that were very against that approach, and some, not to mention anyone's name, but some thought that it would be a legitimate kula to be able to, you know, give him one day a Levi Aliyah, and let, you know, and no one has to know that, you know, it's Kovet HaBrias, let him take the Levi Aliyah and not bring the busha. But that was a recent question that, now, about this Shaila. Now, there is a Mesha Chochma in Parshas Bamidbar that the Mesha Chochma, Rav Shechter likes to quote this Mesha Chochma, and the Mesha Chochma in Parshas Bamidbar wants to know the following. We know there's a din of Tashmish Kedusha and Tashmish the Tashmish. In other words, if you have something, the mantle on the Sefer Torah, the Gufa Kedusha is the Sefer Torah. And what's covering up the Sefer Torah is the Tashmish, the Tashmish, right? And then if something would be on top of that, that would be a Tashmish, the Tashmish. That doesn't have Kedusha. The Sefer Torah is Kedusha. The thing that's going directly, you know, on it, that's a Tashmish, the Kedusha. And then the Tashmish doesn't, does not have Kedusha. So the Mesha Chachma says, how do we know that? I mean, the Gemara says it, but where did the Gemara get that from? So the Mesha Chochma says, because a Kayan has Kedusha. He's Meshamish the Karbanos. The Karbanos have Kedusha, he's Meshamish the Karbanos. And the Levi is Meshamish the Kayan. So a Levi is a Tashmish the Tashmish. And the Mesha Chochma says, a Tashmish the Tashmish doesn't have Kedusha. That's why a Kayan has Kedusha and a Levi doesn't have Kedusha. How do we know that? So as Rav Shechter explained, the Mesha Chochma, the idea being is like this. Because we know in Hilchas Pidyon HaBen, what's the din? If a woman is a Bas Levi, right? So then, and she's Nivel to a Goy. She's Nivel to a Goy. So two scenarios. One scenario is a kohenes that's nivel to a guy, and the other case is the bas levi that's nivel to a guy, a levia that's nivel to a guy. So what's the halacha? Because if either of your parents is a kohen or levi, there's no pidyon haben, right? So the meshachach, so the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch that a kohenes that's nivelis la'akum. So since there's kedusha, so therefore she's nevelas la'akum, so she loses the kedusha, because, and therefore there's no, therefore there's going to be a pidyon haben, but a levia that's nevel ta'akum, since levia doesn't have kedusha. So then when you nivel to the Akim, there's nothing, no Kedusha to lose, because it's just a status, it's not a Kedusha. So Memela, she's still a Levia, and Memela, so she'll stay a Levia, and then there won't be any Pidyon HaBen. By the Kohenes, she has Kedusha, so when she's nivel to Akim, she's going to lose that Kedusha, so now she's not like a Kohenes. So then there'll be Pidyon HaBen, because she's not a Kohenes anymore. But Mashen Kane Alevia, it doesn't have Kedusha, so Mimela is Nivalakum, there's no Kedusha to lose because it's not Kaddish. So Mimela says the Meshachachma, that's the idea. The Tashmish, the Kohen is a Tashmish, the Korban is the Gufa Kedusha, a Kohen is the Tashmish to Kedusha, and a Levi is the Tashmish to Tashmish. And you see that well from that halacha of Pidyon HaBen, of Nivol HaKohen or not. Well, one last thing, just to close. We know we're over a little over time, but I'll just say one last thing. It is a word, Rav David Cohen likes to quote it. It's from the Rav Kiva Eger. We know that Pidyon HaBen is only Peterechem, right? It's only from the mother. You know, you don't have a din of Pidyon HaBen from the firstborn from the father. It's firstborn from the mother. So, Frech Rabbi Akiva Eger Kasha, he says, why is that? In Mitzrayim, what's the holy idea of Pidyon HaBen? We were saved. The Hashem killed the Bechor of Mitzrayim. He saved the Bechor of Klal Yisrael. But in Mitzrayim, the Bechorim that were killed in Makas Bechoris, Bechor Menav, Bechor Menaim, everything. So then Pidyon HaBen should be really on the Bechor Menav, just like the Bechor Menaim. That's the kasha of Rabbi Kiva Eger. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says another kasha. It says, Aniva lo malach, right? Hashem says, I'm going to go to Mitzrayim, no malachim. Aniva lo malach, aniva lo saraf. But doesn't the Torah say there's going to be a mashkis? The mashkis is going to come. So a mashkis is not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's like some type of malach. So what's the answer? Is it Hashem or is it the mashkis? So the Rabbi Kiva Eger says like this, that when it comes to the Bechor min Ha'av, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu killing. Because to know who a Bechor min Ha'av is, you have to have a high level of Hashkacha. Bechor min Ha'av is easy. You see, the woman's pregnant. So you know she's the mother. But who's the father? Which Zera pregnated her? That's only the Ribbono Shel Olam knows. So he says like this. The Peshat is like this. When it came to the Bechor min Ha'av, but Mitzrayim was killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bechor min Ha'aim was what? Was the Mashkis. So he's like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he killed the Bechor min Ha'av of the Mitzrim. So he only killed the Mitzrim and not Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He decides. But the Mashkis also only killed the Bechor min Ha'aim of the Mitzrim, and not the Bechor Menemin from Klal Yisrael. But by Mashkis, what does Chazal say? Kevin shenitna reshus l'mashlis l'hashkis einu mafkin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always mafkin between Tov v'Ra. But the Mashkis is not mafkin. Once the Mashkis is out, is einu mafkin. So it was a special miracle that what? That here the Mashkis was mafkin. And it was only killed the Bechor Menaim of the Mitzrim and not Bechor Menaim of Klal Yisrael, and that was a special miracle. The fact that the Bechor Menaav of Klal Yisrael was saved wasn't such a miracle, because that was in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bechor Menaav. So he's Mavchin, that's normal. But the Bechor Menaim to be Mavchin for the Bechor Menaim, that's only that's normally, that was in the hands of the Mashkis, because that the Mashkis could be Mavchin, who's the Bechor Menaim there, that's not so hard. And the Mashkis was Mavchin, and to do it only Bechor Min Ha'av of Mitzrim, and not Bechor Yisrael, that was a special Yeshua. That was a special Yeshua, and hence the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen on the Bechor Min Ha'av. So you see the tremendous Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Mitzrayim. We should always realize that in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach and everything. And every little prat in our lives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of, and knows about, and cares about. And we should always realize that that idea that we see in the Bechor Min Ha'av, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mavchin, that's his thing. Only Mitzrim killed, not Klal Yisrael, that's normal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always Mavchin. But by Mashkis is not Mavchin. Kevin Shenidur Rishos, the Mashkis, the Hashkis, ain't no Mavchin. So the Bechor Min Ha'av was in the jurisdiction of the Mashkis. And here the Mashkis was Mavchin. Only Bechor Mitzrayim and not Bechor Yisrael. That's a Yeshua. And hence the mitzvah is only Peterechem Min Ha'av. Okay, it's good to see you all again. You should have a good Shabbos. And Bez Hashem, we should see each other again. Have a good Shabbos to all.
Thank you, Rabbi Simon.
Okay, Kol Tov.
Thank you very much.
Kol Tov.
Have a good Shabbos. Rabbi Simon, before you sign off, I had a question about that couple. Why should we, I mean, the bigger issue is 13 years, if the boy thinks that he's the son, and then he finds out all of a sudden that it's bar mitzvah, I mean, we need to talk about this beforehand.
Right, right. So that's a separate question of letting him know. That's a question, another question about letting him know, and in terms of those things. But we're just talking about the embarrassment that the mother already is worried about. 13 years in advance, she's worried that, you know, and she wants to know in her mind before she gave birth. She wanted to have a yishuv hadas that someone will tell her that it would be mutter for. You know, for her son to get the Alevi Aliyah. That was a question. Okay. Good to see you all.
Good job.
Thank you,
George. Bye-bye.